of their standards in the Ghana Premier League. Santikotoko with a victory, Out of Lions were denied an away victory, Gold Stars with a home win. Just two home wins from the start of the Ghana Premier League. Two opening draws. Vision Football Club with their start of a draw. Well, they asked Nana Kwekwajiman, where is that start? Where is that vision football he promised us? Well, Dreams FC also had a very disappointing start, but it was against the champions of the GPL 2023-2024. That is FC Sabatex, who are also looking forward to playing the CAF Champions League next weekend against Raja Athletic Club of Casablanca. Well, there is going to be a lot to talk about. France lost to Italy. Many have been quiet over that, but we'll be taking, given that, an attention as well. And Lesile Teboho, once again, he's winning almost everything that comes his way. Don't forget that the audio version of Sports Ultra is available as a podcast on all podcast channels on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all RSS feeds. You can catch up all the previous episodes there, including this one. My name is Calvin Oswans. I'm your host for today. Billy Shen is here. Rick Rampoff is going to join us. Amankus, yes, Amankwa is also going to join us. And Prince, yes, Prince is also here. Well, he's going to give us a lot more that you probably haven't been hearing from the corporate people, but they also give us, you know, a fair reflection of what they also think behind the scenes. Well, it's going to be a very packed show, and there's a lot we have for you. You need to stay tuned. We'll be back shortly with a lot more.
This is Three Sports. Three Sports, the best sports team in the country. Get interactive with us across all social media platforms on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Three Sports GH. Sports Ultras, much more than just a sports show.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Kelvin Oswans. Prince, Bill, welcome, Oriko, and Amankwa are going to join us later on. Gentlemen, good evening.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Yeah, good evening.
Charlie, we day inside. Hearts of Oak has made me happy today.
They will make you happy.
Oh yeah, I'm happy.
They will get you. they will get you. Well,
oh,
I'm sure the number of visuals are currently circulating and rolling, and we were at the stadium, so I'm sure my producers will be getting them. How the fans are agitated at Accra Hearts of Oak for their poor performance this afternoon. But first of all, let's get into the issues of the Black Stars. Bill,
yes,
there's a big match tomorrow. That is Monday.
Yeah.
In Morocco.
Yeah.
Yes. It's far away in Bekan, the northern side, where the Black Stars will be looking forward to getting a victory against Niger. But from what you saw on Thursday, what do you think that they should better going into that game? But before that, there is a latest update that Jerome Opoku is also injured,
yeah,
and he's not going to be part of the team. So the squad has been reduced to 22 because Joseph Pinsel also couldn't travel because of some visa and travel documentation issues. So he's also gotten himself out of the team. So 22 players. Bill, what did you see on Thursday that should be bettered going into tomorrow's game?
I think one thing that Otuado has to do personally is to make substitutions a bit earlier. I think him making those substitutions after the 80th minute was concerning, especially looking at the performances of some players. I think Jordan Ayew stayed on the pitch a bit too long. Despite getting into the right positions, I think his final decision making was lacking. Elisha Owusu stayed on the pitch too long as well. He was virtually non-existent on the pitch, and we had someone like Majid Ashmiru who could drive the ball forward a lot more. And so I think if Otuado wants to win, he has to make changes. He has to make the substitutions a bit earlier. When he sees that a player is not performing so well, change things, because the moment you make it around 60, 70 minutes, you give yourself more time and the players themselves more time to actually make impact. It's a lot more difficult for someone like Joseph Pinto to make an impact within 10 minutes than if he's given 20 minutes to make an impact. So that is something that Otuado has to consider personally. And it's a good thing that he's facing a side that aren't playing at home themselves. I mean, they are playing on a pitch that is neutral to both Ghana and to Niger itself. So I think it's good riddance for Ghana. It would have been a bit more difficult if, for example, we are playing in Niger, where the Nigerians will be more used to their pitch. And so I think that is has given Ghana a level playing field, and so Otuado just has to make the right substitutions and make them a bit earlier to give us a better chance of winning.
To give us a better chance of winning, Prince. Yes.
I mean, picking up from where Bill ended, he spoke about playing on a neutral ground. I mean, when I think about this, we all know that our pitches have been an issue for us, okay? So I think that Ghana should have played on a neutral ground, which will not, you know, make the complaints of the pitch, you know, come into play, because the boys, we see them deliver when they go to their clubs, okay? They deliver on the pitches they play, because the facilities they use, fine. We might not have everything here in this country, but at the end of the day, we know their pedigree and we see them play. So I can tell you for a fact that I'm very optimistic about the game tomorrow, okay? Because one reason is that the Moroccan pitch, I mean, is standard. It's a standard that they play on, and even, you know, more. So I believe that they're going to deliver tomorrow.
But I think, should we blame the pitch so much? Okay. There were glorious opportunities that the team could have had.
There's that. But there's the wobbles and there's the bubbles on the pitches that, you know, they can. Okay, so if you give them the tools that they need to work, okay, they will not. Because right now, football is a game of passion. People come to the pitch and they're upset, destroying things because they felt like, you know, despite the level of the pitch you were playing on, they should have delivered, like you're saying. But then again, you need to also understand the players when they tell you that the surface is not the best. Okay, so I believe that they will deliver, you know. If they don't, then there will be no excuse to be made, because from their end, they are holding to the fact that the pitch wasn't the best for them to deliver. So now, like I said, you know, these two legs should have been played, you know, on a neutral ground where there will be no excuse for anybody, so that we see what the boys can do. So I think that they will deliver come tomorrow, and I'm very positive, not because of the pedigree of Niger, but because I think that, like Bill said earlier, there will be, you know, certain changes that I believe that the coaches have learned, you know, from this first game. And I'm hoping that these changes that must come early, and those tactical changes that must be done before the game, should all be done.
What tactical changes are you
talking about? So you have a player like Ashimeru who can drive. Mm-hmm. Currently, the only driver is Kudus. I don't know if I'm mistaken. Kudus is the only driver, but he has to drop and all of that. So if he has someone, you know, we know that Partey cannot be doing the runs that he used to do when he was younger.
Yeah.
So even if you have two drivers, okay, so if I'm going, you sit. If Kudus is going, Ashimero sits. If Ashimero is going, Kudus sit. Something like that. So if we see certain, but if you wait till 10 minutes till time and then you say Ashimero to come should come inside and come and do something, I think that 10 minutes is not enough. 5 minutes. I mean, if you are winning the game and then you're giving a player 2-3 minutes, they are cool. But where they know they can do something and you give them 10 minutes, I think it's not enough and it's not fair.
Well, it may not be enough. Amakwa, thanks for joining us. Yes, the Black Stars couldn't win on Thursday, but which areas do you think that could be bettered and going into this game against Niger? What should Otuado and his technical team, as well as the players, do to get, you know, at least, a second opportunity to be in pole position to qualify for the AFCON?
I think Otuado mentioned it himself that he feels he didn't make the changes at the correct time. Yeah. And it could kind of show, even at sitting at home watching the game, that why did it take so long to make these changes? And I think a lot of it has to do with the pitch. Everybody is saying that the pitch is not an excuse because Angola won on that pitch. But having watched the Black Stars games at Kumasi over, let's say, the past year or just 2024, I think this is the worst the pitch has been. Other games we managed to win. We managed to win despite the pitch, but it was very bad versus Angola. And it made it such that, like, the first half, we were trying to figure out, not Angola, we were trying to figure out the pitch and not Angola. And when we started the second half, I think we played very well, but the finishing that let us down. So when the team grew into the game in that second half, it had reached 60, 70 minutes, and it's getting close to the end of the game. So I feel that is why he made the changes so late, because the second half was when the team started to play something on that pitch.
Yeah.
So he, as a coach, he wanted to see how he played out, but eventually he had to give in and make the late subs. But I'm hoping that in Morocco, the pitch will give us an advantage against Niger.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, Amankwa, people say that, yes, the pitch, and that. But I think, don't you think that there's that responsibility that lies on the coaches and then the players to do their best? Because there were good scenarios, you know, that I think that, you know, players playing in top leagues mm-hmm. should have capitalized on to even finish the game mm-hmm. in the opening 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think if I remember clearly, that Jordan and Kudus,
yeah.
2v1, yes. Is the pitch for this. Because in Leicester City pitch, that ball rules perfectly yeah. to Kudus, but mm-hmm. you know, a pitch made it hard for the ball to even yeah. get to Kudus.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, there were some chances, I think, in the second half to Kudus and Semenyo combined, and yeah. he bent it around the post.
Yeah.
There were chances we have used to win, but that's the thing that hurts, because we weren't bad in that game.
Yeah.
It's just that the goal came out of nowhere and it completely ruined the team's momentum. But yes, the coaches and the players have to take responsibility. And I like what Utuado said in the presser. Mm-hmm. He said even though the pitch worried them, the team should have played better.
Exactly.
He himself should have made the subs and changes better. So I think it's a positive outlook, and we hope that the Niger game will be way better.
Well, the positive outlook, hopefully the Niger game will be way better, as Amankwa is saying. And the reason why I don't buy with the pitch thing is, at the AFCON, we had better pitches.
Yeah, but we didn't perform.
In the friendlies, yeah. we had better pitches.
We didn't perform. We lost.
And this is a team that has conceded 9 goals. The basics and the fundamental, you know, lapses
yeah.
are clear.
Yeah.
Progression has become a problem.
Yeah.
Scoring has become a problem. Mm. Defending and preventing balls from entering our net has become a problem.
Yeah.
To score 9 and concede 9
mm.
raises lots of questions yeah. about this team yeah. and yeah. how Otuado wants to play. Yeah. That was the reason why at the press conference I asked him clearly, is it a problem for you that you are missing most of your integral players who pair? Because today he has Salis, he doesn't have Partey. Tomorrow he has Partey, he doesn't have Salis. Mm-hmm. The next day he has Partey, he doesn't have Ashmeru. The following week he has Ashmeru, he doesn't have Salis. Then the next day he has Elisha and Partey, but he doesn't have Salis available, and he only has Forsen Amankwa and Ashmeru to rely on. But these are problems that are coming. So I think it's a structural problem, because yeah. if you have any good team, when you lose players, the others should be able to fit in. And I think Otuado needs to do better. For me, what I saw from the game, it's rather he's becoming too cautious because of the number of goals he concedes. Mm-hmm. Or he rather wants to be conservative. Anybody who watches Arsenal knows that Partey is the setter.
Yeah.
He sits and allows the rest of the other midfielders to advance. So if you come to the Black Stars and you play Partey as a setter, and you play Elisha, another setter, who is going to carry the ball to Kudus? And for me, from what I have seen at West Ham United and the like, if you don't give the ball to Kudus in an advanced position, there was no way he was going to withdraw. You know, in the first 30 minutes, he decided to withdraw, come for the ball, but he realized the pitch was going to be problematic mm-hmm. for him. So in that stead, you give a player who is more adventurous and wants to advance into an opponent who is very much reserved area to get you the needed, you know, openings. And I think in the final 10 minutes when we saw Ashmeru, we created some very good yeah. chances. Semenyo's quick pass with yeah. The striker to Iñaki yeah. and then Kudus to get that yeah. ball. Was it Joseph Pencil's quick run down the right-hand side? And we created very decent goal-scoring opportunities. Mm. We were fortunate not to have scored.
Yeah.
But we wait to see. Tomorrow, it's another day, and the Black Stars will hopefully get in there. But what sort of lineup are you expecting tomorrow? If I give you that mandate as Otuado to give me a lineup, Bill, which players are you going to look at to start for the team tomorrow against Niger?
First of all, Elisha Osu, bench.
Okay.
I'm sorry for him. But all right. Bench. I think Atizigi should maintain his place in goal. I think in the game against Angola, he didn't do any wrong, to be honest. The goal wasn't his fault either. I think the centre-back pairing should be maintained. I think apart from the mistake Abdul Mumin made, the entirety of the game was solid. He was actually good. He was actually good on the ball. He was commanding at the back. He was quite paired well with Salisu.
Yeah.
So I think those two should be maintained. I think Tariq Lamptey, of course, will take the right back. It's not, it's a given. The left back is sort of my problem.
Mm-hmm.
Although Ali Dusedu is a strong person defensively. In attack, he's lacking. And he's also playing out of position. So that's also problematic.
But sincerely, in attack, he offered more than even our right back did for me.
Well,
just that he
at
wasn't
some point,
decisive.
Yeah, at some point.
At some point.
I think he made a very good cross to Kudus at some point, okay. And then it was flagged offside.
All right, so who would you prefer in that pool role?
We only have one natural left back, mm-hmm. unfortunately. But yeah. He doesn't have that experience. So I don't feel Otuado will trust him enough. So I think we'll keep Ali Dusedu there for now. In midfield, of course, Thomas Partey starts. Mm-hmm. Ashimeru has to start alongside them, definitely. Right ahead of them should be Kudus. Mm-hmm. So now the wingers. I think personally that Ibrahim Osman should be given a shout.
Okay.
Give him a chance. Ibrahim Osman, give him that chance. Mm-hmm. On the left wing.
Okay.
And on the right, whether it's Jordan, I'll put Iñaki there because of how effective he is on the right wing in club football.
All right.
And Semenyo up front as a striker.
All right, so Jordan gets to the bench.
Yes.
I think the starting 11 we played against Angola, if I would make any changes, I think Elisha would have to be on the bench because he was kind of just in the game.
Yeah.
Didn't affect anything going forward or even defensively.
Some say he was very much disciplined, and that is what some coaches need to.
You can say that, but you know, what he actually offered is up to you. So I think, let's look at the factors.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to play in Morocco, a neutral venue. Yeah. So it's basically like Niger are also going to... It's an away game for both teams.
Exactly.
So I think after losing the first game narrowly, I think Otuado might really go for it and start a very attacking lineup. So I feel he's going to put Partey and Ashmeru in midfield. And I think he might switch one of the left backs to maybe he might try Ebenezer Annan because he's quite athletic from the friendly I saw the other time. So he'll go out with a very attacking lineup. And I think he'll switch. Iñaki might start alongside Semenyo and Kudus. So I think those might be the changes he'll make. Fatau might have to sit on the bench because as it stands, it's like he should be in a Black Star squad. His quality and everything. We've seen how he played at Leicester, see how he has developed as a player. But how we fit him in the team is kind of the question mark right now. Because look at all the rest of our attackers. We have, like, when they play or when they come off the bench, there's something they do that we know they can do. When Peso come off the bench, he has the direct runs. He can beat his man down the right. Iñaki, even though he's not being good in front of goal, he offers something. He'll move in behind. Semenyo has that strength and hold up. Kudus has, you know, when he gets the ball, he will do something. Is Fatau at this point in the Black Stars team who kind of has a question mark?
Okay.
Because I don't know if it's from him or it's from Otu. We don't know how to use him.
He's most effective in cutting and shoots. Okay.
Yeah.
Cutting and shoots.
How many chances did he get to do that?
Very few of them before he left him.
So I think he might have to go on the bench alongside Elisha.
Okay.
And I also think Ali Dusedu, He should be the one of the fullback sacrifice because as much as he was able to get those chances to be ineffective in attack, I think out of all the errors in the sequences for the Angola goal, his defending for that cross it's not something to be proud of because he jumped when the attacker faked the shot or the cross. He immediately jumped. He didn't even stand his ground.
Sure.
And he gave him free passage. I think at the level he plays at, this is not something you should be doing.
Okay.
So I think for that, he should, you know, see the bench for just the Monday.
All right. I'll be coming to you, Prince. Prince, I wanted you to talk about the Black Stars, but let's just move away from that. We have very limited time. Lots to talk about. But to what extent will we see Astedia, you know, in these poor conditions looking at, you know, us having national assignments and the Black Stars struggling to perform. Now, the NSC say they've closed the stadium for a month, which means no club football. And even Asante Kotoko are going to suffer for that. What would you have to say? What should be done right? You know, how can we just get away this problem? Have CAF been very lenient with us?
I think so. I mean... Like I said initially, I don't understand why CAF wouldn't allow us to play. I mean, it may sound harsh, but I mean, look at the pitch. Everybody's saying pitch, pitch, pitch. I mean, it shouldn't be the situation. I mean, we our boys are ready to do business. Okay, we may have our issues, but I mean, the tool we provide them with, and I don't know how CAF would approve such a pitch. I really don't understand what was done, because I mean, barely a month till the game, and then you'd see some funny images with, you know, things, water or whatever. I mean, at this level, I mean, I feel like we are really lacking in terms of leadership. And I mean, we're not mentioning names, but if you're a CEO and you feel like you want to see progress, you there are some key KPIs you need to look at. I mean, and if you've done your work, we wouldn't be seeing this. I mean, I don't know the collaboration between the clubs, the local clubs and the NSA, but I mean, they should be working together to make sure these things, because these are their stadia that they use for their games. And so, I mean, I feel like we are not taking our game serious in this country.
We are not taking our game seriously, but Amankwa, do you think it's time for CAF to just crack the whip on us so we play our matches away?
At 100%, they see, there's just banner stadiums, all of them. They should even force our continental teams to play outside the country. That's when we learn sense and actually renovate these stadiums. Because you know, the sad thing is that just today, this Sunday, I was bored and I was just browsing through DSTV.
Mm-hmm.
I chanced upon, I think, MTN Disky Challenge.
Yeah.
South Africa. I don't know if it's friendlies or their reserve team or something. And this was like not even the top stadium, some random stadium. And I saw the grass. It was, see, it had patches like this with the brown, but the ball moves smoothly.
Mm. Yeah.
And you just look at Baba Yara and say, what are we doing
very
in this country?
Very bumpy surface.
What are we doing in this country?
Hmm. And you ask yourself, at the end of the day, where does all the money go to?
Hmm.
Where does all the money go to? Bill.
Hmm.
I will let you talk about it. Let's move into the Black Princess. I know you want to say a lot, but let's get into the Black Princess. They are playing this evening, losing two opening games.
Yeah.
This is the seventh consecutive appearance for the Black Princesses at the World Cup.
Yeah.
And the second time for Yusuf Basigi.
Yeah.
Many were calling for him to be given the Black Princess, the Black Queen's job.
Yeah.
But for me, I think it's been a disappointment. What do you make of the two games they've played going into a game against New Zealand? I know you have all the permutations. Feed us on that.
Yeah, so first, on their performance so far, I think the first game against Austria was winnable.
Mm-hmm.
And they disappointed big time. I think their performance was poor on the day, especially knowing the kind of preparation they put into the tournament. I mean, they camped about a month before the tournament started to get used to the surface, to get used to the weather and all of that. They even played against Mexico in a friendly. They played against South Korea in a friendly.
Yeah.
And so they were supposed to be at least ready to beat some teams. And Austria was one.
Hmm.
Austria wasn't a team that had played in an under-20 World Cup. Debutants.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to beat them. You have been here 6 times already, going for your 7th, and you can't beat them. It's disappointing. As for Japan, I'm not surprised. They are that good.
Okay.
Even on the senior side, when they caught the Black Queens, they shoot them small shaggy in a friendly. So I understand that Japan wasn't a match that we were going to win anyway. But the Austria match was disappointing. And now going into the third game, we are in a very big pickle. Because here's how the permutations are like.
Okay.
Now, the Black Princesses are not going to be in the top 2. That is what everybody has to understand.
Okay.
Because 2 other teams are ahead of them, and that is it. It's settled. Japan and Austria are ahead. Settled. What we can get is one of the 3rd best placed teams to go into the next stage.
Sure.
And this is how the rankings look like. Canada have qualified. Cameroon have qualified.
Yes.
South Korea have qualified.
Mm-hmm.
All with 4 points each.
Okay.
So there's 1 slot left. 1.
Okay.
And 3 teams are battling for that 1 slot.
All right.
Paraguay, Argentina, and Ghana.
Okay.
Now, this is the case. If Ghana loses or draws, we are out.
Okay, sure.
We should forget about qualifying.
All right.
So we have to win. But even if we win, we have to pray that Argentina don't win their game. And the sad thing is, Argentina are facing Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team that hasn't scored a goal in the tournament. And they've conceded 11. So what indeed are your chances? Even if you win, safe. You have to bring calculators.
Argentina have a point. Do they have a point?
They have a point.
Okay.
They have 1 point. So if they win, we are out. If they don't win, we have a chance. We have to just pray that they don't win. But it's against a team that has conceded 11 goals and haven't scored. So that means the likelihood of them beating Costa Rica is very high. So again, it just feels like Ghana are going to exit again. And so it's just a very, very, very disappointing tournament for me.
I'm quite disappointed with this sort of performance from Basigi and her ladies.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't able to watch their warm-up games or follow their campaign really. But yeah. I think the first two games, I was able to stream a large part of both. And I think the issue at this is not talent, because I've seen our under 20 and under 17 women play. Yeah. They are very talented women.
Sure.
But I think at this point, we have to accept as a country that our coaching and technical side is lacking a lot, especially in women's football, because we have so much talent. You see these women, they are getting new European clubs to go and play and excel at almost every month. They are flying and leaving the country, and they can play. But why is it that when they go to the World Cup like this, we play two games and we'll be scored? How many goals have we conceded?
We've conceded six already.
Six in two games.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we have to start asking questions about coaching and the technical side of the game. Because the goals I've seen them score as, it's not like they're better than. It's like the teams know how to just play around us. Patterns, coaching, that kind of stuff. That's what's worrying us. Because we've also had chances to score, but it's the finishing touches that are lacking.
The finishing touches are lacking, well, but we don't know how lucky we could be this evening. But Prince, do you think luck could shine on Basigi and his team? What could they do better that can help them qualify? Oh,
but I mean, like Bill said, even if they win, they need favors from
Argentina,
yeah.
So
not a favor from Argentina. Argentina must actually fail to win.
They must fail to win. Yeah.
And that's a footballing country like Ghana. You think they would want to lose? So I mean, I feel like our chances are dwindling by the time. So by the minute.
Well, our chances are dwindling by the minute. But I think there is one thing that I want to say in every single thing that we have been doing. I think Youssef Basigi should take. And the technical team, Nana Joe Nana Dakwa, and then the lady Anita Reduminta, they should take this poor result. They should also take part of the blame. You started building this team suddenly with some very fine local talent.
Yeah.
You built a core. You had a very good spine on the team. Defense to midfield and attack. Very excellent. We understand there are some top quality players that you would always need to augment your squad going into a very top international tournament. And someone like Emma Fatih, the central defender, has showed that, she's a very, very top talent. Now, what has resulted in Mefie Nyame not being able to be part of this team? We watched the African games and we saw how that lady performed.
Yeah.
Abiba Issa is now being pushed to the left-hand side of defense all because of Emma Fatih. I don't know how best he could have helped in, you know, putting Abiba Issa in a very good. Why is Comforte Eboah struggling to even get minutes? And why have we pushed, you know, our other forwards and our other players on the bench? What is actually wrong, or what happened that translated into going into the tournament and he's playing with, do I say, entirely new figures in the team? And for any team that wants to bode well at every single tournament, you don't chop and change. And we know how, you know, delicate women footballers. Once you move 2-3 players out of the team, that synergy breaks. It's not like the men's. Even in the men's, we're just talking about how Otado says he's struggling with, you know, that partnership, you know, break that he has every single time that he assembles his team. So Youssef Basigi, Anita Reduminta, Jonah Nadakwa, this disappointment is on you. You can't be at the tournament for 7 consecutive times and exit every single time in the group stages. This was a great opportunity. Just finished third with 4 points and qualify. Austria are debutants. They defeat you 2-1.
Yeah.
Elementary mistakes. And you cannot tell me these girls were not supported. They come for over a month in Cape Coast. They come for a full month before the tournament in Colombia to adjust to the weather. It is only one star performer, Stella Nyamecha, the captain of the team. How do you go to the tournament and then you just dismantle your team, break your team into pieces like this? They should just bow their heads in shame. But hopefully, maybe they get the luck this evening. But let's get into some more on the international scene. There were lots of wonders from the Nations League as well as some of the AFCON qualifiers.
Hey. This is Three Sports, the best sports team in the country. Get interactive with us across all social media platforms on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Three Sports GH.
Well, there were some notable friendly international games. Didier Deschamps and France, is it time for him to leave? They lost 3-1 to Italy.
Is he how England just they bit the bullet and just let Southgate go? That's what France should have done. Deschamps' time is up. The team needs a fresh breath. Even England with Lee Carsley, you see how they were able to play. They played very well, brought in new faces into the team. I know it's Ireland, but it's a start. And I think France have to look to the future, because if you are saying you are going to keep him to the 2026 World Cup, there might be an issue.
It's going to be an issue, right?
It's going to be an issue. Big issue.
Hey, from 2014 to... Hey!
Yes.
No. Oh, no. That's no good. That's no good. I think France also has, like, quality coaches on standby that they can go and beat.
Yeah.
Zidane is one.
Zidane is waiting.
Zidane is one.
But will he get it?
He should get it. Someone who's won Champions League back to back.
I don't think club football automatically reflects when you get to the national team.
But at least, we'll have the best players available and you can choose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the good thing about national team. You can choose the very best players available in your country and assemble them to the style you want. And that's the luxury that any coach would want to have at any point in time. And I think it just makes it a bit easier for Zidane than at club football. And anyway, they don't play as many matches in the national team. So it just gives him an advantage. And I think they should give him that opportunity to do it.
They should give him that opportunity to do it well. Just, I know Europe, there were other results that went in the favor of Medici's. But praise to you, Erling Haaland. Many think that he performs at club level, national team is not his fault. But he consistently ghosts when it comes to the national team. If someone like Varaskilia sends Georgia... Yeah. To the European Championship, and you sit in your team and you cannot help your team know we beat a country like Kazakhstan, and you ghost in that game to the point that you are one of the worst performers. There is Oscar Bo in Norway. There is Martin Odegaard Oscar also in that team. Yes, I'm just talking about, you know, their failure to perform.
Yeah.
Now you played with Martin Odegaard.
Yeah.
Is Haaland telling us that? He only tries when it comes to the
list
team and
the club football. It will be a bit simplistic. I mean, okay. I can understand.
All right, to explain to those of us who are being very simplistic.
So the coaching is different. The coaching varies, mm-hmm. and the ingredients Haaland has at City is different from what he has.
Yeah, Varaskilia has different materials at club.
Georgia
signed. Oh, I'm saying.
You mean
comparing the quality to from that to Napoli is different.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yes.
But they are doing well, right?
Oh, yeah,
Georgia, they are doing very well. But the issue with Haaland is this. Okay. So the people playing behind him. What the guy yesterday? I watched the game. He mm-hmm. was on the ball too much, trying to do all the skills on the planet. Haaland just released the ball. You know, he's around anywhere inside around the box. Mm-hmm. He's able to do something.
Yeah.
I can count how many times Haaland got the ball in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really blame him so much. His movements were there. He was the same Haaland, okay?
Yeah.
But the services were not coming through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay to bash him. I mean, yeah, I'm a Chelsea fan, but I mean, I can bash Haaland, but I'm trying to look at it from the point of view that he wasn't getting the services that he would normally get from a Pep Guardiola team, City team.
So he needs the service to thrive.
I mean, You have this guy on the ball, Odegaard on the ball, doing all the swivels, doing all the turning, and he wasn't releasing the ball.
So the number of times that he had the ball in very good positions, why didn't he make very good?
He really didn't get the ball in the good positions. If you watch the game carefully, all right, he really didn't get that. And the space that he would normally get, you know, with those intelligent passes that De Bruyne and Co would lay to him, if he gets the ball, there are like 2-3 players on him already. And so he would want to pass or, you know, do a quick shot. And it wasn't working, totally. It wasn't working.
Mm, that's why we say he's a Sukumamindi striker.
Yeah.
If you say it, you people will be fighting.
Facts.
I'm going to go, uh-huh.
It's the truth.
Yes. Facts.
It's the truth.
Oh, yeah, facts.
He himself, if you tell Haaland himself that this was, he won't be angry at you.
Exactly.
That's his game.
Yes.
But when it comes to Norway, I think we should contextualize it a bit. Yes, I think Norway fans have also complained about it. Not that he goes in games per se, but that he has missed over the past year, he's been missing with injuries. Missing with injuries, international breaks, and you just say he's injured. Then the next week, he's come to play for Man City. A lot of Norway fans have complained about that. But I think contextualizing Norway, if you look at it from the outside, they are a team that is now kind of entering their prime.
Yeah.
When Haaland started his club career 4 or 5 years ago, I think it's now that players on his timeline are now growing into the Norway team. If you look at Bob, 19, 20, Nusa, 19, Odegaard is also 25. So they are now, the players on his timeline are now getting better. So I think they should aim for the 2026 World Cup. If they fail to qualify for that, then that is when we shouldn't forgive Haaland. Like, it's unforgivable. The Euros, we might have to forgive them a bit because, you know, Spain was in a corner qualifying group and Scotland were able to qualify to McTominay power. But yes,
yeah, it's not like they have bad players. Yeah. Alexander Scholot, Sander Berge, Jorgen Strand Larsen. Yeah. All these players are very in good, the team. So good, if you play against Kazakhstan, look, I looked through the list and I can't get one interesting player. But well, they'll pamper Haaland.
If they miss that 2026 World Cup, he should. Haaland himself should disqualify himself from every debate he's ever been involved in. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the greatest striker of his generation, of his age range, he should remove himself from all those debates.
All right. So we are getting... I know my producer will be making substitutions. He's not like Otuado or Prosper Ogum, who will wait till the final minute of the game to make changes. But he's called Prosper. He's going to make some changes. Yes, some two players are sitting on the bench. They will come and talk soon. But let's take a look at some of the matches that will be coming up. Croatia will be playing against Poland, 6:45. Same time, Portugal against Scotland is going to start. Ronaldo has already hit his 900th goal mark. Yes, and then Denmark have already beaten Serbia by 2-0. Switzerland will play against Spain. Slovakia beat Azerbaijan 2-0. And Sweden will face Estonia later on. Welcome back from the break. You are still listening to Sports Ultras here on 3FM 92.7. My name is Kelvin Owusu-Anta. We'll be getting a lot more into some of the, you know, the local things that happened. But let's finish off with the foreign front before we finish off with the Ghana Premier League. Well, there's this, we're talking about, you know, Erling Haaland, but Luis Suarez has retired from football despite being a thorn in the flesh of Ghana and some other clubs. But if there was Suarez for you and there was Erling Haaland for you to pick in your team at the powers of their peak, which player would you pick? Fifi Forsen has joined us. Efsen.
Yeah, Kelvin. I don't think this is a... I feel...
are you going to look at the conversion rate or you look at the other
thing? I'm just looking at... There's something now we call pure football.
Okay.
Eden Hazard said pure football.
Pure football, yes.
And since then, it has stuck and we are all using it. And I think if you are going to look at pure football based on even Luis Suarez is my pick.
Mm-hmm.
What the guy did with the, what the guy does with the football is very impressive. When we remember his time at Liverpool, he came from Ajax also. At Ajax, he stole the show. He was the main man. He scored a lot of goals. Liverpool brought him to the Premier League. And he also excelled. You remember he nearly led Liverpool to the title,
except
for that Steven Gerrard back pass.
Yes.
And he's still loved at Liverpool. So that tells you a lot about his time at Liverpool. And he also went to Barcelona. He strike a very brilliant chord with Lionel Messi, Neymar, and played at the peak of his powers for Uruguay also. Awesome player. Awesome player. Haaland is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But we are yet to see what he would do if the circumstances are different, if he has no De Bruyne and all this brilliant,
and that is what he's showing at Norway.
All this brilliant,
that's what he's showing at Norway.
So obviously, I just feel for strikers in our football, maybe R9, then Suarez, then maybe David Villa. This is what pure strikers, who are going to stay in the CF. No, I just, Henry at the time switched to the wings.
Wing, yeah.
But dominant CF. Started.
Yeah, no. Yeah, moved, but
you know, at his peak, he was a forward, like CF.
But I just want to stick to players who have not even tried the wing play,
okay,
nothing.
Right, sure.
Just okay, you can also argue that David Villa also was
from the flanks,
and also from the flanks and all that. But I just feel Suarez is way ahead of Erling Haaland. But the numbers favors Haaland also,
yeah,
because he has all these playmakers, and Charlie can't take the thing away from Haaland. Haaland knows how to score.
But do you think that Suarez is an all round a better player than?
Of course.
All right.
Of course.
Well, that is the thought of Efsen. Bill.
I know.
I know your answer. You continue.
I think from what I've generally seen from Suarez, he doesn't. He can create something out of nothing. That's the difference with him and Haaland. He can actually create something out of nothing. Haaland always needs the ball set to him for him to finish. He needs a through pass. He needs the ball at a position where he can strike it after taking one touch, at most two touches, to finish. That is him. And that is good for a striker who loves to smell goals. And we like that. Pep likes that. It helps him win games. But for Suarez, he gives you something extra. Extra with him. He can shoot out of nowhere. He can even dribble sometimes, and he's done it a number of times. I mean, from his days at Ajax to Liverpool, yeah, to Barcelona, mm-hmm, to Uruguay. I think overall he's just made a much bigger impact in football than Haaland has.
Mm-hmm.
But Haaland can get to that level if he adds extra to his game, a bit of an extra, while still scoring goals. I think he could get to that level if he takes Norway to a World Cup. That would be brilliant for him, for his career, for his legacy. He has not done that yet. Suarez has taken Uruguay to a World Cup semi-final.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2010, he did it.
True.
Even though he hurt our hearts. And I remember, and I cried. But I still have to give that respect to Suarez. I think he's an all-round better player.
Prince.
I think that I would agree with Bill. What I'll say add to that is that Haaland is like a go-bot. It's like a robot.
Mm-hmm.
Because look at a player like Harry Kane. He can drop deep, pick the ball, link up play.
Yeah.
If Haaland drops, it's as if he's useless. He really cannot do much with the ball. So, but anywhere around the box, in the box, he's lethal. We will give that to him. But when you watch the game that we grew to enjoy, you know, look at the flair, like R9, you know, look at, he can pick the ball, drive with the ball, go past players. I really haven't seen Haaland.
So
he has the strength and pace, but I think the skill lacks.
When the going gets tough, Charlie, at times you need to
You have to really praise Haaland because he knows his deficiencies. He knows.
Yeah, he doesn't worry himself.
He plays according to his strength, and I like.
Yeah, he maximizes that
absolutely, and he doesn't need to prove to anybody that I can pick the ball from the center half and dribble. Yeah,
he deliver.
50 goals in 30 something matches.
Yeah.
But maybe.
Yeah.
If it is stopping, it's stopping. I don't care. Fortunately or unfortunately, this is what we have right now. I think it's the only clinical striker we have at the moment.
Yeah.
Because you can argue all you want, and what Chelsea fans will beg to have Haaland.
Yeah.
Oh
me, I'll beg to have Haaland.
Everybody, maybe Barcelona will even beg to have Haaland. For now, we have Lewandowski, so we are managing.
But now we are saying that between Haaland and Suarez. So currently, you have Haaland.
Put one of them
in your team.
Oh, Suarez.
Oh, of course.
Pick Suarez.
Forget.
Someone who nearly took
Liverpool of nothing.
All right, so Efsen, I come to you with a blind ranking.
Okay.
Suarez or Gabriel Batistuta?
Suarez
or Alan Shearer?
Suarez
or Zlatan Ibrahimovic?
Oh, Suarez.
Suarez or Robert Lewandowski?
Suarez.
Suarez or Karim Benzema?
Luis Suarez.
Suarez, Wayne Rooney?
Suarez.
Suarez, Raul Gonzalez?
Suarez again.
Suarez, Thierry Henry?
Suarez.
Suarez, George Weah?
Oh, are you serious at all? Suarez.
You're not patriotic.
Suarez, Didier Drogba?
Oh. Luisito Suarez.
Suarez, Harry Kane.
Suarez.
Suarez, Van Nistelrooy.
Suarez again.
Suarez, David Villa.
Suarez.
Suarez, Sergio Aguero.
Suarez.
Suarez, Andy Shevchenko.
Suarez.
No.
Suarez, Ronaldo, R9.
Oh,
R9.
R9 was a Brazilian.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah. I guess R9, his legacy, what he did for the game. You see, he wasn't dominant for a long period, but everybody speaks highly of him.
Yeah, even
and now, the level of respect he commands is shows how good he was.
Yeah. Mm.
So, R9 is the greatest striker.
Beleshan, this is for you.
Mm.
Frederick Kanute, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Hey, we start with this. Right. Put different positions.
Frederick Kanute, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. They are two strikers. Yeah. Come on.
I'll take Pierre.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Aubameyang, Patrick Mboma.
Huh. Legendary Mboma.
Yeah.
Quoi? I'll stick with Pierre. Let's go. Yeah. I'll stick with Pierre. Because me, I don't watch Mboma like that.
Yeah. All right.
I'll stick with Pierre.
Aubameyang, Didier Drogba.
Oh, Didier.
Didier, Mohamed Salah.
Salah,
Emmanuel Adebayo.
Salah,
Sadio Mane.
Salah,
Samuel Jan.
I can't.
Salah, Samuel Jan.
I can't.
Bill, be careful. If you're answering this question,
hey, I can't.
Otherwise, somebody will cut that part.
Salah, Samuel Jan.
But I thought you were being honest.
Salah, Samuel Jan.
Oh, I can't.
You answer it after the show.
Oh, yeah, after the show.
No, Salah, Samuel Jan.
Skip.
No, Salah, Samuel Jan.
Skip.
I feel like you have
your answer. Jan.
Hey, I'll pick my baby Jeff. Let's go.
Baby. All right, Samuel Jan, Samuel Eto'o Fils.
Oh, Eto.
Eto'o. All right, so that was for Bill Prince.
Yeah.
Get ready for yours, eh? Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, okay. So, let's go. Joseph Yobo and then Taribo West.
Tuanago.
Hi.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Nigerians. I'm Puzigi.
I think I'll go for Taribo West.
All right.
Yeah,
Taribo West, Mark Fish.
Taribo.
Taribo Aaron Mokoena.
Taribo.
Taribo Nuruddin Nabet.
Who is that?
Okay. All right. Okay.
Taribo.
Taribo Wael Goma.
This guy, Goma guy is good. But I'll stay with Taribo.
Taribo Khalidou Koulibaly.
I'll go back to Koulibaly.
Koulibaly, Laurent Ntamimaya.
Koulibaly,
Lucas Radibe.
Koulibaly,
Kolo Touré. Kolo Touré, Rigobert Song.
No, Kolo.
Kolo.
Yeah. Kolo.
We go to be different level.
No,
all right.
No, but
Kolo, I'll stay with Kolo. Kolo Samuel Osei Okafor.
Cycle for now.
All right, so by the as you have something to say.
Nothing to say.
You are cool, eh? Yeah. All right, we're going for you. Run away from this, like you see. Wow, for many luck is that glorious moment when you find money in your trousers when you are very broke. For others, luck is like being picked out of the crowd for a reward. For us, luck is a life-changing event, and we believe everyone deserves a shot at it. Luck is coming with prizes so exciting they will make your head spin. Want to be the luckiest? Dial *712# and get your ticket. The more you buy, the better your chances of winning. And remember, when you hear that catchy jingle, it's your cue to pay attention. It could be your lucky day. Remember that luck comes your way every single time. Luck is on its way to you and your community. So stay sharp. The luckiest luck is everywhere. Well, Billy Shen has left. Ori Kampoff will be joining us shortly for the Ghana Premier League. Yes, we'll be getting him. If it's not available, I know Kwanzaa was at the stadium, and Kwanzaa can also join us. So we quickly get into the Ghana Premier League. But Efson, I know you were not here. Ghana plays tomorrow. I know you definitely have an interest. What you saw last Thursday, what do you think are the lessons, and what should Otuadu and his technical team do better for the Black Stars against Niger?
First of all, I want to see good football. I think I saw The players played really well against, I think, not really well. They played, the second half was better because their first half lacked bites. They were lackadaisical when they had the ball. Players taking too long on the ball, especially Fatawu Issahaku. But I think they stepped up in the second half and they had a lot, they had some decent chances. I recall Jordan Ayew hitting the ball that hit the player. Mohamed Kudus also had a great chance to score. And obviously, Angola scored against the run of play. But I think the main issue from the game against Angola has been the pitch. And if you look at social media, we are from yesterday when the Blasters arrived in Morocco, the news and everything has been about the pitch, training on good pitches.
Yeah.
We've seen the Ghana FA communication director, Irene Asante Chung, posting on his Twitter feed.
Yeah.
the pitch the Blasters
played. So they have no excuse.
So this is what I'm expecting good football.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also looking at what Otuadu is going to do in the game.
Yeah.
It's lineup. I just feel he has to trust Abdul Mumin. After coming out to defend the guy, he has to trust him in playing. I don't think he has to just bench him for that mistake.
Yeah.
I feel the pitch contributed to that error. You could see his right leg wasn't stuck in well, and he made that blunder that cost Ghana
the loss.
So I just feel he has to trust the guy. He's played really well this season. Vallecano, for Rayo Vallecano, he's been one of their best players, most improved players in the Spanish La Liga. And I just feel if Otto doesn't play him tomorrow, he's going to do a lot for his. He's going to dampen his confidence.
Yeah.
And he's a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a young guy. If the coach can come out to defend him, then he needs to back his words by playing him. I just thought he was decent in the game against Angola. Maybe in the last 5 minutes, fatigue set in. So I just thought he has to stick with him. His partnership with Mohamed Salisu, I don't think is the go-to partnership for Ghana at the moment. Because if Alexander Djiku comes in, he's going to slot in. But I just feel against Niger, he has to start Mumin. And I'm hoping he starts. And I'm hoping he plays very well, as we've seen him for Rayo Vallecano this season.
Which areas of the team do you think that it needs a change?
I think the midfield. The midfield, because we saw Elisha Osu and Thomas Partey. I feel feared. Otto playing Elisha and Partey mirrored what Chris Hilton did at the AFCON.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all complaining because at the AFCON it was Baba Idrisu.
Yes.
And one other defensive. Like
one of the Salis.
We were too defensive. And if you have someone like Ashimeru on the bench, I simply don't understand why you don't play Ashimeru.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he wanted to protect the player. I don't know. Whatever reason he gives or it doesn't honestly sit well with me, because you need players like Ashimeru to move the ball, to make driving runs, and to support creative players like Mohamed Kudus.
Yeah.
We saw how they played at the African Cup of Nations.
Mm-hmm.
With Ashimeru and Kudus, we can get goals. We can get creativity at its best. And I also think this guy has to step up, because we've seen him playing really well. Antoine Semenya, you've seen him playing very well at Bournemouth, but when it comes to the Blasters, it's more like he's becoming an Inaki Williams for the Blasters. Mm-hmm. And he needs to step up. He needs to step up against Niger. I'm sure he's going to start because he offers a lot. His work rate is impressive. And Fatawu Issahaku, I feel the Niger game is key for him because I wasn't impressed with what he did against Angola. He held on to the ball too long and his decision making was not the best. And this is a player who has been able to rescue his career, going to Leicester, helping them secure promotion to the Premier League. And he's playing very well for Leicester in the Premier League's debut.
Yes.
So when it comes to the Blaster, we have every right to expect more from him. I think someone posted something about Issahaku not playing very well when it gets to the end.
Mm-hmm.
The commentary was all about insults. Oh, leave the boys. No. We have every right to demand a lot from him.
Yeah.
Issahaku has been in the Blasters for a long time. He's been at the Blasters for a long time. He was even at the World Cup.
Yes, he was.
And he played against Nigeria in the playoffs.
Yes.
So what's more, we have every right to expect more from him.
Exactly. Bukayo Saka started performing well at a very high level when he was very young.
And you see, he has been trusted ahead of players like Usman Bukhari, Joseph Pinso, who are playing so well in the MLS and other leagues.
Yeah, Usman.
Yeah, so it means Otto likes him.
Sure.
So he has to prove his worth. When he has the ball, his decision making has to be top notch.
Yeah.
this is not time for Charles play, because we've seen him play at under 20. He was excellent. He came to the Blasters and we all thought, okay, he wasn't ready. He had to go back to under 23. And he was excellent at under 23. Sure. He's won himself back into the Blasters. So we have every right to demand a lot from him. So I'm hoping tomorrow he's going to get a goal or an assist. Yeah.
Tomorrow, hoping that he's going to get a goal or an assist. But Aryna Sabalenka won the U.S. Open women's title yesterday, defeating American Jessica Pegula 7-5, 7-5 in a very, very entertaining match there. But currently ongoing is the men's final. Jannik Sinner, the Italian, has already finished De La Fritz in the first set, 6-3, and the second set is currently ongoing, one set apiece. And Sinner, the Italian, looking more, you know, strong to win this as well. But Lesile Tebogo once again also emerged victorious in his race. This time around, he clocked over 19. He made 20.75 years in a race that we did not have to so many high competitors, but he managed to finish top in there. Let's drop and get into the Ghana Premier League.
Ghana Premier League is back again. I say this is our own. Let's cherish our own. Division One League is back again. This is our own. Let's cherish our own. Ghana Premier League is back again. This is our own. Let's cherish our own. Women's Premier League is back again. I don't see a day what dog can want. And EJ can want. The ratio more.
We've always been there, yes, since the days of Shamukwe. And yes, we are in the days of Albert Amwa and then Asamoah Boati and Free and then Emmanuel Mafu and Mohamed Abdulrahman and the likes. Well, the Ghana Premier League 2024-2025 season started yesterday at the Crasspot Stadium. I was there myself. Dreams FC against FC Samatex. It ended goalless. There was also another game at the Kraku Park Intema Vision Football Club. They also settled for a goalless draw against Brekum Chelsea. Accra Asofog were expected to baptize Holy Stars into the Ghana Premier League, but they rather received a confirmation of their low standards at the Accra Sports Stadium this afternoon. Holy Stars defeated them by a goal to nil. As early as the second minute, the Phobians went down and they couldn't recover. Eduana FC had to come back late. Hey, Eduana and their late comebacks. 1-1 against Heart of Lions. Heart of Lions scored the opener. Asante Kotoko traveled all the way to Tamale to defeat Karela 1-0. Bibiani Gold Stars 2, Legon Cities 1, and Swachaman 2. That is Young Apostles. Yes, they came and then, yes, this is what we call baptism. 2-0 against them. And Nations Football Club settled for a goalless draw against Bichim United. And Medeama 0, Accra Lions 0. So we had two away wins. Asante Kotoko beating Karela United. Two away wins. Kotoko winning and also Holy Stars defeating Heart of Oak. And then two home wins. Gold Stars defeating Legon Cities and then Swachaman defeating Young Apostles. And the rest of the games ended in draws. So four wins and then five draws from the start of the Ghana Premier League. Prince Finneboa, Albert Amwa, Collins, Kofi Kujo, Mohamed Abdulrahman, Emmanuel Mafo are the leading goal scorers. So in Swachaman, 3 points, Gold Stars 3 points, Kotoko 3 points, Holy Stars 3 points, Heart of Lions, Adriana, Bechem, Samatex, Brekum, Chelsea, Dreams, Vision Nations, all with 1 point. Medeama Accra Lions, they had a I think they are playing tomorrow, right? Oh, they settled for a goal.
They are currently playing
the game and it's goalless. So, yes, I wait for that result. So, Legon City's had to for Karela Young Apostles all went to 0 points as it stands now. Kwanza.
Yeah,
how are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Yes, I'm okay. You are with us at the Accra Sports Stadium. I can speak for myself for the Dreams FC Samatex game. I think Samatex were very much reserved, conservative, because they are playing Raja Casablanca next week Sunday at Accra Sports Stadium, and they had to sit most of their top players on the bench. Dreams were more adventurous, and you can see the Dreams FC team, they've sold almost everyone. So new players are entirely playing, but it was a good game, end-to-end action. The director of coaching education, Desmond Ofe, was present. He watched. Tony Bafo was also present. The FA president himself, Kett, was also present, and he watched the game. Vision FC, good game against Wycombe Chelsea. But today, we are at the Accra Sports Stadium. Yeah. Heart to Folk against Holy Stars. Are Heart to Folk going to be relegated this time around? Or you see, this is just the first game, and we should give Abubakar Attara and his team some sort of respite.
Yeah, Kelvin, you look at Heart to Folk well from last two seasons, and you look at them last two seasons on match day one, where they had to play Diana, they lost by a goal to Nodal, that was on the road. Mm-hmm. Last season, they had to travel far away to Tamale to play RTU, they lost on the road. So this time around, the match being at home at the Accra Sports Stadium, especially after playing on Wednesday against Dreams FC, and that was a goalless draw.
Yeah.
So coming into such a game and then signing about 12 players, the fans, of course, were expecting you to put up a show and then indeed get a 3 maximum points. Before the game, I spoke to a lot of fans. Some even went to the extent of predicting 5-0 victory for Heart to Folk.
Are they the ones going to play?
Yes, so some went to that extent. So them seeing that really is much of a disappointment, such that you look at the problems of Heart to Folk and it's still prevalent.
Yeah.
Abubakar Attara is, for me, it's not the man to solve Heart to Folk's problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they look at the team sometimes, because you look at Heart to Folk from last season coming. Abdelaziz was one guy who would come to the number six role and then do his very well defensive midfield position. And it was one other guy, Gledo Tanga. Now Gledo Tanga is out. Heart to Folk had to sign new defensive midfielders. So they went to be being a good start for someone, Amofa. Amofa came in and they decided to relegate him to the center back position. Now there's another guy from Tuduma Etijet, that was Collinson Ato, whatever his name is. And a guy from Tuduma Etijet coming into that position to play for Heart to Folk as a defensive midfielder is such a huge task for him. You look at Heart to Folk, the season ended on 16th June.
Yeah.
They played their last game on 16th June.
Mm-hmm.
A month and a day after, that was when they had to play Kotoko at Accra Sports Stadium in the Democracy Cup. They lost that game by 2-1. It was after that game that they realized that they really had to make changes in their team. So I don't know if they didn't know that the team was that bad that they couldn't make their changes, and how to realize it just after that loss against Kotoko. So this is how it comes. I think some days to the end of the transfer market, they had to announce about 8 players in a day,
mm-hmm.
which means these players have less time to gel, less time to play. They train about two days at Pobiman, had to travel to Togo for 10 days. In total, that's about 14 days before this game.
Sure.
And I think they need to psych the fans as well,
mm-hmm.
for them to understand that this is the new team.
Yeah.
And most of the fans are calling Abubakar Attara out, and I side with them. Because me siding with them means there was this fair man, this white man before Abubakar Attara, Koopman.
Yeah, Martinus Koopman.
So there was Koopman before him, and then you look at the stats well,
mm-hmm.
take that wins from Brekum Chelsea at Brekum out, and then that win against Bechem United. Koopman's stats were almost at par as that of Abubakar Attara, which means that there was almost no difference in that of Koopman and Abubakar Attara, which means that it's not solving the problem of Heart to Folk. I think this will go on till March the 34, where Heart to Folk will have that last salvage. And yes, thumbs up to Gazelle and then his boys from Basake coming all the way from the Western region, getting this win as early as the second minute, and how they control the game. They didn't come as underdogs. They didn't play as underdogs. They controlled the game. They were bleeding with much confidence.
Yeah.
And they actually did baptize Heart to Folk instead of them getting baptized.
Instead of them getting baptized, I will come to Eric Wampo for shortly for, you know, the reactions after the game and what he makes of all that chaos after the game. But Scott McTominay has put Scotland in the lead against Portugal after 27 minutes, and Spain are already cruising with a 2-0 lead over Switzerland. Jose Lu and then Fabian Ruiz. But Lenormand has been shown the red card after 21 minutes. And also in tennis, Jannik Sinner currently is in the second set, is two games all against Taylor Fritz. But Sinner leading he's seven in the fifth game, and he's already leading 40-15. Oreku, we were at the stadium together. Kindly tell us the happenings, the scenes, the post-match reactions after the game.
like we've become accustomed to, Heart of Oak fans have been very vocal with how they've basically not been happy with the club in the past few months. And I think this precedent has already been set. We've seen it at Santokotoko where if fans are not happy with the coach, they make it very clear in the sense that they do everything possible to ensure that they make his life uncomfortable. We've seen fans troop into training grounds to stop coaches from coming in. It's happened at both Haas and Kotoko. And I do suspect that will probably be the next step for Abubakar Ouattara. He's come in. He had a very decent start. I think in his first 4 or 5 games, he was unbeaten. And it looked like the club had finally turned things around. But for some problems that he cannot really state and hasn't really been specific about when he spoke in the press conference a few weeks ago, you know, he says it was some internal stuff. And yeah, it had to do not with the technical body, but with regards to the players. And so I don't know if that was an attitude problem, but I assume that once he's had a full transfer window, he's brought in players that he wants, he's gotten rid of the ones that he doesn't want, and he's had a full preseason in Togo, which I think they played quite well, had some very good results. You would have believed that luck has been on their side, mm-hmm, with regards to the fixture selection. Yeah. You are home against Holy Stars, who under normal circumstances were supposed to be overwhelmed by the occasion, playing at Accra Sports Stadium, your first match in the Ghana Premier League, against the almighty Heart of Oak. But that wasn't the case. As Gazelle said in his post-match conference, he told his boys not to fear Heart of Oak. And that's because they are just not the team that they used to be anymore. And he says, you know, he could see the ridicule from the graphics and the whole commentary pre-game. Everyone talking about how Heart of Oak were going to beat Holy Stars. But
yeah,
they used that to motivate themselves to get the result against Heart of Oak. And I think it's time that maybe Hearts fans understand that they are not a big club anymore. Mm-hmm. They are just not a big club. And it's difficult to accept, but that's the truth. You've battled relegation for 2 seasons now, into a 3rd season, and you lose against a team that has just been promoted. Very similar trajectory to last season, yeah, where they went to Tamale, lost to RTU.
Sure.
And now you're going away to Pando, mm-hmm, your next game. You know how difficult away games are.
Bashir Hilford.
Yes, it's not going to be easy. And so if you don't win your first 2 games, all of a sudden tensions start to rise. And then that sort of unsettles the whole team and the players and all of that. And it just looks like new season, same old issues. But back to the, you know, turn of events that took place at the Accra Sports Stadium. Yeah. So the match was over. Fans clearly unhappy, incensed. They made their way to their parking lot. Mm-hmm. And so as I think Holy Stars had their post-match conference first, and then Heart of Oak came in. Coach, I think, was it Yao? I can't remember his coach.
Yamankwa,
yes, that's assistant coach. He came in place of Abubakar Ouattara because he says Abubakar was in a meeting with the players, so he couldn't come to the post-match conference. So some journalists were not too happy with that. But whilst Coach Yamankwa was being asked questions, the police rushed in. Already you could hear scores of boos and hooting outside when the players were making their way to the bus.
Yeah.
So one of the police officers rushed in saying that, you know what, I think, coach, you need to come into the bus quickly due to what's happening outside. And he suspects that the more he delays, the more the tensions rise outside. And so we had to cut the press conference midway. The coach made his way to the bus. And fans were outside really angry, really enraged. In fact, Ouattara, when he was getting into his car, his car was literally being chased out. And same for the bus as well. And so Heart of Oak is very surprising to see match day one. But I think a lot of this is just residue from last season. Mm-hmm. Fans were not happy from last season. So obviously if this season doesn't start well, it just compounds. Because you don't expect fans to be this angry after just one defeat. But I just think that it's just a matter of time, Ouattara. I'm sorry, but when fans in Ghana start acting this way, we know what happens next. If he doesn't win again, they go to training ground and eventually the fans will sack him.
Eventually the fans are going to sack him. Essen, contrasting fortune, Heart of Oak, Asante Kotoko.
I think same can be, you can argue that Heart of Oak brought in a whole lot of new players and everything. I think Kotoko have done the same thing.
Yeah, same thing. You but look at the lineup.
The difference is that Kotoko have recruited well. Mm-hmm. And it was evident in the game they played against Karela.
Sure.
I just feel they've had enough time to they did their business very early.
Yeah,
they've had enough time with the coach Prosper Ogum. He has obviously has experience of winning the Ghana Premier League before, and even last season when things were not going too well,
he managed
to get a team together and they played very well. They played the last five or so matches and they managed to finish it. I think Kotoko know this season they have to challenge for the title, and winning against Karela away from home is a good start, because obviously. But one thing that I think is going to worry the team is the fact that the Babara Sports Stadium has been closed.
Yeah.
So, meaning they have to look at an alternative.
Kwame Che Sports Complex. Yeah. That's their alternative.
Yeah. Meaning. I don't think they will be too happy with this, because when they play at Babara, obviously they feel more comfortable and they win matches there very often. So, I just feel that could play a role in them not being too more involved in the title race. But I just feel winning against Karela is a perfect start for them.
Okay.
The players, they'll come together with more matches to go.
Okay.
So Kotoko can go all the way this season.
They can go all the way. Before I come to Kwanta and then Oriku, Efsen, are you happy with the coverage you've seen so far on match day one? And
No, I've always said that Ghana Premier League matches should be very accessible to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with it being on Facebook, because I can just pick my phone,
exactly,
go to the AFA app and just get a coverage of the matches. But I just feel if the GFA or if they are not securing broadcast sponsors, I just feel they need not to worry themselves very much, because this coverage for me is not really appealing to the eyes. Saw a lot of complaints, people saying funeral cameras,
yeah,
and it's bad for the image of the league, because this is a league that in the last two or three seasons we've had Star Times coming, and Star Times is a renowned brand, and even Star Times we had challenges with them.
Yeah.
So if you are not getting someone better than Star Times, I just feel you should put it on hold. And mm-hmm. I just feel maybe they are in a rush, maybe they want to I don't know what they are trying to achieve with this,
yeah,
but for me the coverage wasn't that good, the commentary wasn't the best. We're watching the matches and Charlie, I don't want to I'm trying to choose my words carefully, right. And I don't think coverage on day one was the best, and I think maybe going forward it will improve, and I just hope They get someone to come in, maybe SuperSport, a top brand to just come and hold the Ghana Premier League. Because we all saw what SuperSport delivered.
Yeah.
Even at a time when the Ghana Premier League wasn't too attractive.
Exactly.
No, we all saw how they delivered the coverage. So I feel they should go back to the drawing board. The ESCO, one thing that they've done is to remove midweek matches. It's fine.
Yes.
So that you don't stress the players and all that. But selling the brand, coverage is important. True. You have to get the coverage right. Yeah. Mm.
All right, cool. Before I come to Kwanza, what do you make of all these, you know, what we are seeing on our screens? It seems like the FA is just not really interested in their own product. Because if you are an FA, you complain about the NSA not giving the national team a very good pitch. Why can't you also give something, you know, very much appealing of your own product? You don't see anything marketable of the Ghana Premier League at the venues that we've seen. And trust you me, on yesterday at the stadium, all the pitch side panels had not even a Dreams FC nor Ghana Premier League, do I say, you know, marketing thing on the board. And today it was just Hasselhoff. So what would, do I say, if you have a foreign investor, what does this speak to, you know, potential sponsors who are even willing to come on board?
I think the issue with the Ghana Premier League is that it's always been treated as an afterthought. It's almost like that little baby that their parents have given up on. Mm-hmm. And so they barely give attention to it. Even if they do, it must be something so crucial. That's when they decide to step in and maybe do something haphazardly for the baby.
Yeah.
And It's telling, because it goes on to affect a number of things, i.e. the quality of the game, the quality of the broadcast, the patronage from the fans, and just the overall interest. And to see these numbers in match day one, I don't think it's good enough. weeks building up to the league, you wouldn't hear anything, you wouldn't see anything. It's difficult because, yeah, every stakeholder can play a role, from the media to the fans to the teams themselves to the FA to the ministry to the NSA to the various authorities. But at the end of the day, I think everything falls under the umbrella of the Ghana Football Association. And they have to ensure that the league is at its utmost best. And it's just not been the case. Look at the broadcast for this first match week. What's been the plan like? It's almost like it was thrown to everyone in the final days. We just woke up Saturday or something like that, and we're like, yeah, Metro TV will show some of the games. This one will take some of the games. The rest will be on the GFA app. This one will do this. Meanwhile, you can... Look, if you go to other leagues in Europe, when the fixtures are released 3 months before the fixture, the league, you can see at what point every game will be played, which ones will be televised, and where. There's just a general lack of planning that's really affecting the league, and it's rather unfortunate that Ghana Premier League has fallen this badly. One good thing that I would say I saw from match day one was that all the teams, I believe, did a pre-game conference.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like a pre-match conference thing where coaches spoke, they all put on their individual social media. I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I saw a number of the clubs do that, which I think helped because, for instance, the media can only feed off what they get. If this coach comes and says, I'm going to go here and beat this team, and it will be an easy victory because I've picked out how they play and all of that, that gives you some form of foundation to make your analysis. It gives you something to share out there. It gives you something to generate talkability about the league. So I think that was a good step. My problem is consistency.
Yeah.
Are we going to see it before every match day? Also, we want to see the post-match. I think that is the first step towards generating some bit of talkability for the league. But I've always said the pioneers of the league, they are the pillars, heart of Kotoko.
Yeah.
If the Ghana Premier League will be great, one of the short-term solutions is for Haas and Kotoko to do well. Look, today like this, Heart of Folk fans, if you compare the crowd to yesterday's game, Samatex Dreams, it was 10, 20 times better.
Sure.
The atmosphere, the people, that you could even get parking space outside.
Yeah.
And this Heart of Folk team that has battled relegation for 2 seasons.
Exactly.
Just imagine Heart of Folk and Kotoko were challenging for a league title. Mm-hmm. It would rub off these two teams. And when they are facing Dreams, the crowd would come, and at least Dreams would also get a percentage of the huge crowd. And through that, when people come and they see players from other teams, they will get to know more about the league and say, oh, this guy was good, I'll follow him this time. Well, I liked how our opposition played, I would like to see more of their games. That's how a league grows. The traditional clubs need to hold their league together. Mm-hmm. And I just think that we're not seeing that at the moment. And that has also contributed heavily to the fall of the league.
Well, Kwanzaa, I'll be coming to you for your final words. But Oriku Ampofo was trying to run away from something, but he's here. Oriku, you know Abu Treka?
Mohamed Abu Treka?
Yeah.
Egypt?
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Abu Treka or Andre Ayew?
Andre Ayew.
Andre Elhaji Diouf.
Andre Ayew.
Andre Ayew Gervinho.
Andre Ayew.
Andre Ayew Koja Samoa.
Andre Ayew.
Andre Ayew Mohamed Barakat.
Andre Ayew.
Andre Ayew Sule Muntari.
Andre Ayew.
Andre Ayew Riyad Mahrez.
Riyad Mahrez.
Riyad Mahrez Sadio Mane.
Sadio Mane.
Mane, Mohamed Salah.
Salah.
Salah, Didier Okocha.
Salah.
Salah, Nwankwo Kanu.
Salah. That's easy.
That's easy. Yeah. Way. Salah, Steven Appiah.
Salah.
Salah, Yaya Toure.
Salah.
Salah. You didn't watch Abidi, are you?
Oh, I did.
Did you?
I mean, not like that's what I did. Guys, I'm not that old. I mean, I've seen him. That's what I meant. I didn't watch him live.
Salah Samoleto.
Eto has more heritage, so Eto.
All right, Kwanza, just finish up for us. Yeah, you. What do you think that the EFN needs to do better? Because Ket himself was present at the stadium. He was present yesterday as well. What do you think they need to do? Because this is a whole department. They've brought someone like Neil Armstrong, Motabe. This guy, what's his name? Jamel Marabi, our own. Yes, and our own friend Benjamin Willie Graham. You know, I think the FA has brought on a lot more people. Which areas do we need to get better to make the Ghana Premier League much more appealing?
Yeah, Kelvin, if you are selling something and it's not attractive, you don't expect anyone to buy. And if you fail to plan, and that means that you are planning to fail,
yeah.
And that is what we are witnessing now. Oroku said it was just on Saturday that we saw that a match was going telecast.
Yeah, the FA president posted it himself before the FA handles gave us that information.
Fine, you told us late, but then at least if you are going to give it to us in good quality.
Yeah.
At the stadium, a friend showed me the comments under the Kotoko stream, mm-hmm. and someone had written if it was being streamed by an Itel phone. I was like, and I took time to watch it myself. Come on. I don't know how they were changing the camera angles, and everything was messed up. Although Kotoko was playing quite a good game, but if you're not someone with that in quote technical, you didn't realize that Kotoko was playing a good game.
Yeah.
Yes, and that wouldn't even get people to patronize some of our players. That's why you see some of our best players going to Malta about 8-9 at a go, going to Malta. Some of them going to Slovakia, Drita, Kosovo, and others,
yeah.
Because those big guns are not getting the chance to watch.
Sure.
We are talking about Abdulaziz Design, that is.
Yeah.
He playing the CAF competition CAF.
Yeah, it was Kavri that got all those videos. David Rodro, Kavri that got into FC Barcelona.
So
Peter Amidou, coverage that got him there.
Exactly.
What's his name? Kotoko's player,
Benasoma. Yeah. Yes. So if you're not doing it well, you don't expect our players to get that hype and then that coverage and that good patronize, because we are going to get them going to Rwanda, Mali, Guinea, and the others. So I think we should make it attractive, not just we, the Ghanaians who are watching, but to the outsiders as well.
To the outsiders as well. Sorry, our lines have been a bit disappointing. Technical challenges. Hopefully next week you would have your say. But don't forget that an audio version of Sports Ultras is also available as a podcast on all podcast channels, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all RSS feeds. You can catch up all the previous shows there, including this one.